Hello, this is Category 5 TV Coffee Break for Sunday, 6th of December, 2020. I'm BP9, hello, and to my left, I have Doug.
Hello.
And then if it shows up the same, then that's Peter down there. So we'll see how that works out. Let's see. Not much on my plate today. Got a couple of things to talk about. Got some hardware to talk about. Peter, maybe you can help me with that, but we'll talk about that.
Oh, good. Yeah.
So we'll have a chat about that. My hardware skills are not strong. My software skills are far stronger than my hardware skills, and so I'm having some trouble with that, trying to figure out what's going on with it. So, Doug, last week you didn't get to talk about your handy dandy new Raspberry Pi, so let's talk about that. What you mentioned last week You mentioned last week you were using that as an entertainment machine. What are your plans for the Raspberry Pi?
Well, I have a Roku, like I said, and having the Raspberry Pi or any other computer as an entertainment center allows me to do things that I can't do with the Roku, like watch Facebook.
Oh, I don't do Facebook.
If I want to watch Facebook videos on my TV, I can't do that with the Roku. There's no Facebook app anymore on Roku. There used to be.
Oh, okay.
Don't have it anymore. Raspberry Pi is actually something I've had for a couple of years. I have set it up as an entertainment center before, but I think I need to get a fan for it so it doesn't overheat. Raspberry Pis are notorious for overheating without some kind of external cooling.
So I used. Go ahead.
Doesn't even have a heat sink on it.
Oh well, that would do it for sure. I used a Raspberry Pi for retro games. It's called Retro Pi.
Yes.
But that kit came with heat sinks because you had to know that the even running games, it would be pretty well taxed. It would be a pretty heavily used machine. So apart from Plex, or is it Plex you're planning to run? I just assume Plex. I'm sure that's not right. What are you planning to run?
I was wondering, Plex can be run in Roku.
Yes, it can.
Plex doesn't have a browser built in either, as far as I know.
You can log into your Plex instance with your browser. You just log into a specific port. I forget what that port is. I may have it on my browser. Let me check. Stand by while I check real quick. Plex. I don't see it offhand, but okay. I'll see if I can find it later and put it on Discord or something. But whether you're running it on a Synology box or whether you're running it on your local machine, it doesn't matter. You can easily just log into it literally from your from any PC on your network. Now, if you get what's called the so-called Plex Pass, apparently you can then log into it even from outside your network. I have not done that. I do not intend to do that. So I think I mentioned last week that so far there's nothing about the Plex Pass that encourages me to do that. So I'm happy to just leave it the way it is for right now.
Right.
But it works fine just by itself. You know, the free download, you just install it on your either Synology box or your desktop machine. But of course, if you put it on a desktop machine, it's got to be running all the time because the desktop machine has to be has to be running, so it's always contacted. It's always contactable.
Yeah,
that's really all I've got about Plex, except that I enjoy it. It works really well for me. There are other folks who there's another software package out there does something like Plex. I forget what it is, and they like it. But so far, I like Plex. It works really well. It's identified all the media that I have without too much problem. It seems to work pretty well for me. So yeah,
I'm gonna buy a case that has a built-in fan.
Okay.
After I get that, maybe I can look into Plex and see what's going on there.
Well, I've got a few Raspberry Pis around here. One of them has what's called a hat on it. It's a circuit board that plugs into the main board, and it's running 24/7. It doesn't have a heat sink. It might have a heat sink. Let me check.
Is that a server?
Yeah. I plan to put Gopher on it. I'm gonna put Gopher on it is my plan.
What Gopher?
Gopher is an old boy. We're going back in time now. It's an old text-only web, not even web-based, internet-based protocol that precedes the World Wide Web. This thing, you know, Gopher used to be the way to get information on the web. You would see pages. If you've heard of Archie and Veronica, those are search engines for Gopher.
Okay.
They're all related. Gopher is text only. You can download binary images, so pictures or executables or whatever it is you, or zip files or whatever it is you want. You're fairly restricted on what you can do, and that's one of the things that the web beat Gopher on, is that with Gopher, you're very restricted on what you can show. But with World Wide Web, of course, you can format the page, you can format the file any way you want, and it will show up any way you want. But being more complicated also means that there's more room for backdoors and holes to get in and do damage to your system. So Gopher is text only. There are GUI type clients for it, but Gopher is the is effectively text only. So it's been a while since I messed with it. I ended up downloading the original source code from the original Gopher server at University of Minnesota, where they built it, where they invented that protocol. And it has the client and the server. Turns out, I think it was GNU. Turns out they did something else with Gopher and made some improvements to the protocol.
Yeah,
but those improvements don't work with the original server. But if you build your code according to the original server, then it works with the new server as well. So that's what I've ended up doing. So, do you plan to do any programming with it, Doug, or not?
I'm not much of a programmer. I've never been able to get into it. My math skills are not that good, so my programming skills are not that good.
Oh, I don't think you need math skills for programming, but you need a logical thought process.
I think that's where the math comes in. Math is all logic.
Okay.
And then, I went to our local community college for computer, I forget what they called it, but it was for computer systems at any rate.
Okay.
And computer information systems.
Okay.
And cancel. Cancel. And
did I do that? I'm sorry.
No, I did that. Oh. I did that one word. So
okay, got it.
I got into programming, and the instructor, who had a PhD in mathematics, told me that math and programming are a one-to-one relationship in terms of ability.
I don't agree. My math skills are not strong either.
I'm not good at either one, so I can't say for sure.
I would say that a logical process, thought process, would be far more helpful to you than math. Now, I will say that my math did improve. You know, plugging numbers into equations and building equations is something you do in programming all the time. That's all variables are. You build a formula in a program with variables, and then you plug values into the variables and you see what comes out the other end.
Yeah.
That's what programming is. That might be what he was talking about.
I got through elementary algebra without any problem.
Okay.
But I got into intermediate algebra and I started having issues.
Okay.
Then I hit college level algebra and it was like a brick wall.
Yeah. Calculus was a brick wall for me too. That was it for me as well. As far as
psychology is concerned, I can do psychology all day long.
Oh God, that's scary.
But math and programming don't work for me. Science, I can do.
Okay.
You know, I went to nursing school and I got an A in anatomy and physiology. That was a full semester of that.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Nice.
So biology and things like that, I'm good with, but programming and math, not so much.
Okay. So good luck with your Raspberry Pi. I hope you do get into some programming because you're willing. I do anyway, but then I'm a programmer. So it's good fun. It's surprising how good the desktop experience is on a Raspberry Pi. The Pinebook Pro, for instance, is just a souped up Raspberry Pi. And I constantly forget when I'm playing with that Pinebook Pro that it's an SBC. It's similar to the Raspberry Pi. It's just it's just a bit stronger. That's all.
Do you use the eMMC on the Pinebook Pro or SD card?
It has an eMMC built in, but I can boot off an SD card if I choose to do that. By default, I will boot off the eMMC. And what I did almost as soon as I got it was I reprogrammed the eMMC with a new image with a different distro, a different Linux distro on it.
Mm.
In particular, I wanted to use the desktop environment XFCE, which I use on every other desktop that I have. So, right then, let's talk about, I think I was saying that my programming skills, I feel good about my programming skills, but my hardware skills, not so much. And this is my current problem. This is a circuit board out of one of my garage door openers. Let me see if I can point it out. Here it is there. I think you might be able to see that the resistor that's right there.
Something burned out, yeah.
Yep, you can see the scorch marks around it. So I think I'll be doing some component level repairs on this because this board is so old that you just can't find any replacement boards.
Is that surface mounted?
No. They're all just random. I would have no trouble at all ripping all of these components out and putting new in place. But I have to identify what the components are. Here's my problem. I don't know if this will come up on the camera or not, but where my finger is over here, you can see some resistors right there, and they're a beige colored. The body of the resistor is beige colored.
There's three of them, yeah.
Where There's two of them, actually. There's a diode above it, and there's a capacitor near my finger. And okay. then down here, there's what I think is a whole bunch more resistors, but they're all green. The body is all green. My question is, I've read somewhere that if they're green like that, they're actually inductors, not resistors. And I don't know if that's true or not, because I've never seen such a circuit that has got so many inductors on it. So I'm curious. It's out of a garage door opener. These relays are switching. These relays are switching 110 volts to drive the motor that runs the runs the garage door up and down to open it and close it. But it's mm-hmm. such an old garage door opener. It's like 20 or 30 years old. Well, 20 years old anyway, that the circuit board is just not made anymore. So I'm stuck with doing component level repairs. This big old 2-watt resistor has got scorch marks around it. You can see that.
Yeah.
These two resistors down here next to the relay, again, I don't know if you can see it very well because the relays are getting in the way of the light, but you can probably see scorch marks around them as well.
Yeah.
Right there. And anyway, yep, so we've got someone trying to join, a fellow by the name of Ian Sutter, but he's not. I've given him the okay to him to come in, but he hasn't. He's not showing up. I don't know. It shows joining, so I don't know where he is. Maybe he'll show up. We'll see what happens. At any rate, so Peter, what do you know about resistors versus inductors? And am I right about the whole beige coloured thing versus the
No. It's very difficult, but why I would do it is to lift the big one. I would lift the end up and to take one end off and put a multimeter across there and check.
I would do the same. That's going to be my next thing. The problem is, of course, if the board has in fact, or if the component is in fact scorched, then it's going to be a dead short. It's not going to be the right resistance.
No, it might be 20% more, 30% more, 40%
right.
more, because it's got corked. It's very difficult to actually figure out. Can I have a look at the grey ones again? Can I have a look at the grey ones again? I ain't got me right glasses or that.
And while you're looking at those, I'll say hello to, he shows up as Ian Sutter on his label. Hi. Hello, good to see you.
Yeah, sorry it's been so long. It's just the Sunday schedule almost conflicts with a religious meeting that I have. So
I'm sorry about that.
That's all right.
Somebody else, I think it was Solbu, requested that that we change the timing of the meeting, and I'm open to doing that. But he never suggested any other time slot, so.
They resisted.
That's what I thought too, Peter. I thought they were resistors as well.
What do you do? Lift one end up and check it on the multimeter.
Yep. Yep.
Do you know how to read the color code? Do you?
I do. Yep. Oh, good. Sure do.
Okay. Check the electrolytics as well. Check if they're okay. Have you got a fridge?
I'm going to check every single. I'm going to check every single component, both the capacitors and resistors,
And the transistors.
Yep.
Because you might. What has happened is I put 110 volts or something and chew something up.
No, it was a lightning strike. Is what took it out.
They definitely would chew it.
What I'm worried about is those ICs, because I'm concerned that the ICs.
Can you tell me the black chip? What's the number on it? I can't read it.
The number on what?
The black one next to
the IC.
Yeah, the next to the control.
Well, I can't find a data sheet on it, but it is. In fact, I've got notes on it. It's going to be easier for me to open it up.
I might be able to identify from
memory. Yeah, I did not have any luck finding finding the.
But I go back a long time, or a long way ago.
Okay, Ian. Good afternoon, or good morning, afternoon, wherever it is in your part of the world. Feel free to jump in and make some comments while we play with these component lists and stuff.
All right. Well, is it okay if I tell a story then?
Please do. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. All right. What's going on in your world?
Well, a friend of mine gave me a Pentium 3 Windows 2000 computer, and he wanted me to wipe the hard drive on it.
Ooh, an old IDE hard drive?
Oh, yeah, an old IDE hard drive.
Nice. And
yeah, it was really kind of frustrating at first because it turns out the DVD drive had completely gone kaput. In other words,
uh-oh,
it was broken. So
uh-oh.
I couldn't.
And it won't boot off an SD card, will it?
Nope. So, won't even put off a USB drive. I tried that. Oh, what?
Doug said it won't boot off the thumb drive either. That's what I mean by a USB drive.
Replace the DVD, CD drive, and then try again.
Yeah.
Replace that, then again, old one, because they're quite old.
Yeah. Peter, let him talk, will you? He's in the middle of his story.
Yeah, well, that's exactly what I did. I actually, by pure coincidence, happened to have a spare IDE DVD drive lying around.
Nice.
That my great uncle had given me a while ago. So I thought, you know what, I'll try that. And it didn't work at first because I didn't realize that IDE drives have the master slave pins on the back.
I was going to ask if you set that up correctly.
So it was set to slave at first, and I'm sitting there like, why isn't this working? And then I looked it up, and I was like, oh, there's these pins on the back with a jumper,
mm-hmm.
So I just pulled the jumper
mm-hmm.
out and put it in the right spot. And then it worked. Booted right into the drive wiping software.
Nice.
Of course, this was after I had spent hours trying to figure out why the original DVD drive wasn't working.
Mm-hmm.
And booting into a... So what I had done was I took the ribbon cable out of the floppy disk inside that computer and moved it to a computer I knew I could boot from.
Right.
And that also had a floppy disk drive in it.
Yep.
And
cool.
I happened to have two spare floppy disks lying around too.
Mm-hmm.
So I wrote
mm-hmm.
a boot floppy image to the floppy disk.
Yeah.
And
that works too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, because the DVD drive was broken, that did nothing. So.
Yeah. These days, even on that old vintage style machine, you could probably boot a live Linux image off the CD-ROM and
just do DVD,
and it should wipe out that drive when you do that.
Yeah, I did try that, but the problem is modern Linux doesn't run on a Pentium 3 very well.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, I have old versions of Linux that I'm sure would run just fine.
Oh, yeah, that would run just fine. Yeah. Oh, is that a floppy disk set?
No, CD-ROM.
Oh, CD-ROM. Okay, I'm just like, that's a big box.
It's full of manuals. It's full of books.
Oh, wow. Oh, we don't
I do have the floppy version of OS2 Warp, but unfortunately,
oh, wow.
I can't make it to install because the floppies are no longer readable. So let's see. So Peter, that 16-pin, that's a 16-pin DIP I see, is part number Y for Yankee. 26785B for Bravo. It's a Micrel or Micrel part. Mike, India, Charlie, Romeo, Echo, Lima.
Yeah, that's specialized, yeah.
Yeah, I figured it would be. I can't find a data sheet for it or anything like that, so I do not...
Have you tried to put in the data sheet and the number into Google?
I have. All I get is sites in China that say, we can sell these to you, but we don't have a data sheet for them. So so I have no idea what the chip does.
Maybe you could go into Amazon or or YouTube and get 110 volt. I assume is all it does. Is it a radio link or is it a UV one?
There's another board. There's another board in the opener that is the radio receiver.
Oh, the receiver is it?
Well, no, this is not the receiver. This is the board that controls the opening of the door, opening and closing of the door. The other board that connects to this board, that other board is the radio receiver. And that radio receiver is what triggers this board to open the Now I'm actually quite open to just tossing this board and installing like an Arduino or something to actually drive the thing. Probably the only way I'm going to get the garage door opener to work again. If I can't do component level repairs on this, I'll be done.
I think with it on it, it grovels a lot. Because I've seen things actually catch fire because of lightning.
Well, luckily this thing just cooked some components, and that's the end of it.
It was black. The thing was black when I saw it.
I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised.
Yeah, it's 2,000 volts up it. I don't like it.
All right, boys and girls. Stormy, I'm sorry that you came in late, but we've been going 25 minutes now, and that's about as long as Robbie likes the coffee break file to be. So we're about ready to shut it down again. I'm so sorry about that. But
makes me laugh.
What's that?
That's a name that makes me laugh.
What, BP9?
Give me that in. And rather German. Well, there's an African country down in Namibia. It's got a guy named, and he was a politician, and his name is Adolf Hitler, and had an African name, and he got knighted.
I said we weren't doing politics in this thing, right?
No,
I've already told you that, Peter.
Sorry, I said thought that funny at the time.
Okay.
He showed me that.
All right. We're done. Have a good evening, everybody, or a good afternoon, all. And I will see you next week.
All right. I don't know if I'll be able to be on here much earlier next week either, but okay. I'll see if I can get in.
Well, if you're open to, I'm open to changing the schedule around. So, if you've got a better suggestion for timing. We check with Solbu because he suggested it in the first place. All right. Everybody, take care. Oh, wait a minute. Let me do the wave over here. All right, then. Take care. See you later. Bye.
Bye, everybody.